Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Contending Economic Theories, Neoclassical, Keynesian, and Marxian by Richard D. Wolff is an accessible guide to three influential ways of explaining how modern economies work and why they sometimes fail. Rather than treating economics as a single settled science, the book frames it as a debate among competing theories with different assumptions, methods, and political implications. Readers are introduced to how neoclassical economics emphasizes markets, prices, and individual choice, how Keynesian economics centers uncertainty, aggregate demand, and the stabilizing role of government, and how Marxian economics focuses on class, production, and the distribution of surplus in capitalist systems. Wolff aims to help readers compare the theories on their own terms, understand what each highlights or obscures, and see how the choice of framework shapes real policy decisions. The result is a practical map for students, curious non-specialists, and anyone trying to make sense of economic headlines and ideological clashes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economics as competing frameworks, not one neutral viewpoint. A central contribution of the book is its insistence that economics is not a single unified lens, but a field of contending theories. Each theory starts from particular assumptions about human behavior, what counts as a problem, and what evidence matters. Neoclassical analysis commonly begins with individuals making rational choices under scarcity, using prices as key signals. Keynesian analysis begins with macro-level instability, uncertainty, and the possibility that markets do not self-correct quickly enough. Marxian analysis begins with production, class relations, and the ways power and ownership structure shape outcomes. By laying these side by side, the book encourages readers to ask foundational questions. What is the economy primarily made of? Individual trading, firms investing, or classes struggling over surplus? What is the main engine of change, preferences, institutions, or contradictions within capitalism? What is considered success, efficiency, stability, or justice? This comparative approach helps readers interpret disagreements among economists and understand why policy debates persist even when people share the same data. It also builds literacy for evaluating arguments in media and politics by identifying the theoretical frame being used. Secondly, neoclassical theory, markets, incentives, and the promise and limits of efficiency, the book explains neoclassical economics as a theory that highlights how decentralized markets coordinate activity through prices, incentives, and competition. In this view, consumers and firms respond to relative prices, and resources tend to flow toward their most valued uses. This framework is powerful for analyzing trade-offs, marginal decisions, and the effects of taxes, subsidies, and regulation on behavior. It also supports the idea that, under certain conditions, markets can generate efficient outcomes. At the same time, the book emphasizes that those conditions are not guaranteed. Real economies face market power, imperfect information, external costs like pollution, and unequal starting positions that influence outcomes. The neoclassical focus on equilibrium and individual choice can underplay systemic instability, historical change, and the role of institutions and power. By placing neoclassical theory in comparison with the others, readers can see where it excels, such as micro-level price analysis, and where it may struggle, such as explaining persistent unemployment or crisis dynamics without adding extra assumptions. The treatment encourages readers to use neoclassical tools thoughtfully, while recognizing the normative judgments often embedded in appeals to market efficiency. Thirdly, Keynesian theory, uncertainty, demand, and the case for macro stabilization. Keynesian economics is presented as a response to the observation that capitalist economies can settle into prolonged slumps with high unemployment and unused capacity. The book outlines how Keynesian thinking emphasizes aggregate demand, the total spending by households, businesses, and governments, as a driver of output and employment. When private investment falters due to pessimism or uncertainty, the economy may not automatically return to full employment quickly, making public policy a stabilizing force. Keynesian analysis highlights the roles of fiscal policy, monetary policy, and expectations. It also points to feedback loops. Job losses reduce incomes, which reduces spending, which further reduces production. In this framework, government deficits can be a tool rather than simply a problem, especially during downturns. The book also brings out tensions inside Keynesian approaches, including debates over how effective stimulus is, the risks of inflation, and the political constraints that shape policy. Compared with neoclassical models, Keynesian theory is more comfortable with disequilibrium and with institutions that influence spending. Compared with Marxian theory, it focuses less on ownership and class and more on managing instability within capitalism. Fourthly, Marxian theory, class, surplus, and capitalism as a historical system, Marxian economics is introduced as a framework that centers production and class relations, asking who owns productive assets, who performs labor, and how the surplus generated in production is appropriated and distributed. The book presents Marxian analysis as interested in capitalism not only as a set of markets, but as a social system with characteristic power relations between employers and employees. This approach interprets profits, wages, and investment decisions through the lens of surplus value and the ongoing tension between capital accumulation and labor conditions. Marxian theory also treats economic change as historical and conflict-driven, shaped by competition among capitalists, technological change, and struggles over wages, working time, and workplace control. Crises are not merely accidents or external shocks, but can arise from internal dynamics such as overaccumulation, profit pressures, and imbalances between production and purchasing power. The book helps readers see why Marxian economists pay close attention to inequality, exploitation, and the political role of the state in supporting property relations. By comparing Marxian ideas to neoclassical and Keynesian ones, the book clarifies where Marxism offers different questions and metrics, especially regarding power, ownership, and long-run systemic transformation. Lastly, applying the theories to real issues, policy choices change with the lens. A key theme is that economic policy debates often hinge on which theory is being used, because each one identifies different root causes and remedies. On unemployment, a neoclassical view may stress wage flexibility and labor market incentives. A Keynesian view may stress insufficient demand and the need for stimulus, and a Marxian view may stress capitalist organization of work, bargaining power, and the distribution of surplus. On inflation, neoclassical and Keynesian analyses typically focus on money, capacity constraints, and expectations, while Marxian approaches may also examine profit strategies, monopoly power, and conflicts over income shares. On inequality, neoclassical frameworks may emphasize skills, productivity, and market returns. Keynesian frameworks may add the macro consequences of weakened demand, and Marxian framework, by making these contrasts explicit, the book equips readers to translate headlines into structured questions. What assumptions are being made about behavior and markets? What data is treated as most decisive? What is the implied role of government and the likely winners and losers? This practical comparative method improves critical thinking and helps readers engage policy discussions without being locked into one ideology. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a clear, comparative introduction to economic thinking, including students, professionals who follow policy, and citizens who feel economics is used as a rhetorical weapon in public debate. It is especially useful for anyone who has encountered contradictory explanations of the same event, a recession, inflation, wage stagnation, or inequality, and wants to understand why smart people disagree. The benefit to the reader's life is practical. It strengthens the ability to evaluate arguments, spot hidden assumptions, and judge policies by recognizing what each theory prioritizes. Instead of memorizing a single model, readers gain a toolkit for asking better questions, such as whether a problem is rooted in incentives, spending shortfalls, or power and ownership structures. The book is worth buying compared to similar introductions because it does not treat neoclassical economics as the default with others as footnotes. Its comparative structure gives each framework a coherent presentation and lets readers weigh strengths and blind spots side by side. That balance makes it a durable reference for navigating economic claims in media, politics, and everyday decision-making. If you would like to support Richard D. Seide Wolf, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.